this your confession, I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in this standard by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. Thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness.
Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. insists on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mere dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Taking the 12, Jesus said to them, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem. And everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him, and on the third day he will rise." But they understood none of these things. His saying was hidden from them. They did not grasp what was
unto you in peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. From the Gospel for this day, St. Luke chapter 18, verses 40 and 41. Jesus stood still and commanded the blind beggar to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." More than 700 years before the Savior came into this world, the prophet Isaiah had prophesied, saying, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy." And now these words of Isaiah are finding their fulfillment as Jesus, the great physician, goes about giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, as he breaks the bonds of paralysis and looses the tongues of those who could not speak. In all of these miracles, the Lord Jesus was liberating the fallen creation from its bonds and pointing forward to that greatest miracle of all, his glorious resurrection, wherein the bonds of death itself were broken and eternal life bestowed on us poor mortal sinners. In the Gospel for this last Sunday before Lent, we see our Lord healing a blind beggar at the gates of Jericho. He cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he keeps on crying despite all the efforts of the crowd to silence him. Jesus commands the people to bring the blind beggar to him and asks him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, let me receive my sight." And Jesus replies, "Receive your sight, your faith has made you well." In his great compassion, our Lord restores sight to the blind, and the man formerly blind follows Jesus on the way to Jerusalem. Now that blind beggar's prayer, "Lord, let me receive my sight," must be your prayer and my prayer too. For although none of us here this morning is literally blind, we are blind in a deeper sense, blind to the astonishing love and the will of our Maker. For if we really saw God clearly, our hearts would continually be overflowing with peace and joy. But since they are not, we too need to pray with the blind beggar, "Lord, let me receive my sight." The trouble is that instead of clearly seeing the love and the will of God, we're distracted. We see all kinds of other things instead. Now, I happen to have a friend who has struggled with depression all his life. But his depression isn't helped by what he daily chooses to see. Not content with looking at one or two news reports, he tends to keep watching the news all day long. And that, I submit, is enough to depress even the most cheerfully disposed person. And then there are those who find themselves tempted to spend far too much time following the latest scandals and tragedies in the world, and alas, also in the church. And then there are those who choose to look at materials that are not fit for human consumption, completely ignoring the words of Jesus, "Blessed are the pure in heart." Now, we are naive if we think that all of this is a small matter, of no consequence to our spiritual health. If we fail to realize that Satan is only too glad to use all of this to confuse us, to blind us, to alienate us from the life of God. For the more careless we are about what we choose to see, the greater is the danger of being plunged ever more deeply into spiritual confusion and darkness. Lent begins this Wednesday. And what is Lent for, if not that time in the year when more than any other time we in fact gaze on Jesus? Lent is in fact all about seeing ourselves as we are, and our Baker as he is. It's time for seeing ourselves as we in fact are, not as we'd like to be, nor yet as we fancy ourselves to be, but as we in fact are. Honest and thorough examination in the light of Holy Scripture, God's written word, should quickly dispel any illusions we might have. For example, just how well do you and I measure up to St. Paul's great hymn to love as we hear it in the epistle for this Lord's Day? Paul writes, "Love is patient, love is kind, and envies no one. Love is never boastful, nor conceited, nor rude, never selfish, not quick to take offense. Love keeps no score of wrongs, does not gloat over other people's sins, but delights in the truth." Yes, in self-examination and confession, we see ourselves as we truly are. And then in the word of forgiveness spoken by the pastor, whom God has given the task of doing just this, we see God as he truly is, who knows us better than we know ourselves, yet loves us still. We see Jesus, the crucified and risen friend of sinners. And so, we with the blind beggar at the gates of Jericho pray as we approach the Lenten season, "Lord, let me receive my sight." In the wonderful epistle for this last Sunday before Lent, St. Paul says this: "Now in this life we see through a glass darkly, but then in heaven face to face. And St. John, the beloved disciple, says of the redeemed in heaven, "His servants shall worship him, for they shall see his face." Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us now stand and pray for the church and for the world. Almighty and most merciful Father, graciously receive these our prayers, which we bring before thee for your holy church throughout all the world, that you would be pleased to guard, to govern, and to keep it in concord and peace everywhere, and to grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bless all bishops, pastors, and ministers of your word, especially Matthew, the chief pastor of our synod, John, the chief pastor of our district, the chaplains of the armed forces of our nation, and the missionaries of your grace at home and abroad. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Graciously regard your servants, the President of the United States, and the governors of our commonwealths and states, the Congress and our legislatures, our judges and magistrates, and all the rulers of the earth, and grant them wisdom and understanding, that under their peaceable governance, your people may be guarded and directed in righteousness, quietness, and justice. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Have mercy upon the infirmities of all people. Deliver the world from error. Take away disease. Ward off famine. Set free those who are innocently imprisoned, especially those who are in suffering for your name's and for your truth's sake, and those who are prisoners of war. Grant a safe return to those who travel, health to the sick, consolation to those who mourn, and light to the erring. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Keep in the protection of your holy angels all who travel. Give to our loved ones your help and your favor, and a constant sense of your nearness and of your love. And to the enemies of your church, grant the grace of repentance unto salvation. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We also remember before you, O Lord, your servants and handmaidens who have gone before us with the sign of faith and are now fallen asleep. Grant that we together with them may come to the perfect joy and rest of your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We now join in singing hymn 630. 630.